I did, and we had a delightful conversation, and they said, you know, you're just fabulous, and we need the people in Billings to meet you. And I remember thinking, well, that'll be nice. I don't always hear back from people who say, you know, you're wonderful and we want you to come. But within a week, I had an email from Dick. And he had contacted my agent and said, please come. And so here I am. And that's great. Look, it's working. Praise God. It doesn't always. So I'm going to sit a lot. I have a left foot issue and a bad back. And so if that's an issue for you, I'm so sorry. Get over it. And if you need to move to see me, you can move because I won't move much. Now, we'll see. We'll see how I do, and I'll stand for a while, sit for a while. We've got two topics tonight, two topics tomorrow morning. How many of you have never been here before? First timers, thank you for trusting these people and coming, even on the front row. Woohoo! Back row, love you people. So how many of you have come forever? You're like back, like you knew how to get here, didn't need the GPS. Welcome. How many of you are parents? Grandparents? Aunts? Uncles? Great grandparents. How many of you work with children as a volunteer in some capacity? How many? Wow, that's fabulous. How many of you work with children and get paid? Fabulous. How many just came? Welcome. Welcome. Just kind of checking it out. So two topics tonight, two topics tomorrow. Believe it or not, they only gave me 50 minutes. My nickname when I was a child was a chatty Cathy. But we'll make it work. Yes? Yes, because God is good.
All the time.
All the time God is good. That's right. So this evening we're going to start with a concept about how to identify why children and adults do what they do so that you can really speak to the issue and really help them change. How many of you already find that appealing? Because how many of you have tried to help yourself change or somebody else change, and there was a temporary fix, and you woke up the next day as if nothing had ever happened? So we're going to look at that this evening, and it's a strategy that I pray is really a blessing. And you're coming back tomorrow, right? The last topic tomorrow is on change, and I'm going to share with you what I believe we need to understand to really help people change their mind. And I think it's a significant thing in light of worldview, because we need to make sure, because how many of you know people who say they want to change their mind about how they vote or who they vote for or what issues they care about? I meet people all the time. You know, I wish I could. Well, we say at Celebrate Kids that wishing it so won't make it happen. So we're going to talk tonight and tomorrow about what it is that we need to believe and do and think and act upon so that change becomes a real issue. I hope that that's a blessing to you. After the little break that we're going to give you tonight, then we're going to talk about one of my most favorite topics, and that is the eighth grade smarts. And I pray that you're going to be blessed by that as well. So let's, without further ado, you've got a handout in front of you to take notes on. If you're a note taker, if you're not, I will not glare at you. All right, so we have security. Security is the first core need. We're going to talk tonight about the five core needs that all of you and all of your children have and how they need to be met and how it's ideally true that they're met in healthy ways. So the first core need is a need for security, and it's defined by the question, who can I trust? So if you're a note taker, jot that down in that pyramid that's there on the handout for you. Who can I trust? If you or your children place security in things, those things will fade away, fall away, and they will be at risk. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Like, I'm secure because I'm popular. Like, I'm popular. Did you guys know I'm popular? Like, I'm amazing. I'm so popular. If I have my security in being popular, what happens to me when I go to school or church and no one knows my name? And no one looks at me and no one calls on me and I'm chosen last for the little kickball team. Do they still play kickball at school? Yeah, it's a dangerous game. So security, what's the question? Thank you. Who can I trust? And that leads us to identity. And the identity question is, who am I? Who am I? Now, I'm going to give you a 30,000-foot overview, and then we're going to dig in, so don't worry. But the identity question is, who am I? And I will say this by way of introduction. Identity controls behavior, so it is essential that you and your children know who you are. Because if I don't know who I am, I don't know who to be. And then I'm wishy-washy, and I go where the wind blows me. How many of you know people like that? You know, trying to figure it out. It's very, very dangerous. And today's children have a really, really hard time figuring out who they are because of social media, texting, websites, gaming, et cetera, et cetera. And my first topic tomorrow morning is about technology. And so I think you'll benefit from that. You might not enjoy it, but you'll benefit from it. You'll notice that identity is rooted in security. If I have no one to trust, I guarantee you I will not know who I am. Then we get to belonging. And the belonging question is, who wants me? Who wants me? Not who needs me. It's okay to be needed. We will talk about that tonight. But if you have your need for belonging met in being needed, what kind of people do you always look for? Yeah, needy people. So I'm amazing. Not only am I popular, but like I'm amazing. Like I'm brilliant. Because look at all these people who need me. And so I have all the answers. So my security is, I have all the answers. My identity is, I have all the answers. My belonging is, I have all the answers. How many of you would not enjoy hanging out with me? No. Anybody want to go to lunch with us tomorrow? No, we're not going to have a good time. How many of you know people like that? Where they've placed those core needs in something that is ultimately unhealthy, even if it's true that they have a lot of answers. Belonging is a legitimate need, but it's met in being wanted, not met in being needed. How many of you are making sense of this so far? You guys doing all right? I hope that I'm giving you language to understand what you've always believed. And I'm simply going to give you vocabulary so that you can talk with people about it, because it's so important. Then we get to purpose. And the purpose question, you guys, is the question, why am I alive? Why was I created? Why am I alive? Why was I created now? One of the things we believe at Celebrate Kids is that you were created by an intentional God who knew exactly what he was doing. And you were created now for his glory and his purpose. I love to say to young people when I'm in front of teenagers, is what's your Esther moment going to be? What's your purpose? Leading cause of suicide is a lack of purpose. The second leading cause of death for 10 to 24-year-olds in our country is suicide. The number one, the leading cause of death for 50-year-old Caucasian men in this country is suicide. It's not a lack of belonging. A lot of these people have families, connections, volleyball teams, and youth groups, and jobs that they're a part of, but they don't know why they should keep living when the days are dark. And we live in turbulent times, right? Where we know about the brokenness, and it's hard to overcome if you don't have Jesus. If you have Jesus, you have already overcome. Amen. Would that be right?
Yes.
Can I say that here?
Yes.
Absolutely. So fun. Sometimes I do public school stuff, and sometimes I'm incognito, like I'm hired by a Christian in the school to like infiltrate, and I have to be really careful. There I say things like, in the best book I ever read, it says this. And then I say stuff like, Paul, a prolific author, put it this way. Yeah, and then I watch, because reactions will tell me who's read the Bible. The other people are like, that's cool, could you say that again? I love being a professor. I was a professor at a secular university, and I would take my Bible to class on the very first day. And I said, how many of you know that every professor has a bias? How many of you have been irritated by the bias of your professors? I said, well, I thought I would just let you know what mine is so you wouldn't wonder what it is, because why would I want you to waste intellectual energy trying to figure it out? So here's my bias. And then I would tell them that I was a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and that the Bible is the best book you'll ever read. And in fact, I was teaching people how to teach children how to read. So I would say the most important reason to learn how to read is so they can read the holy, transforming, relevant, always true Word of God. And I said, you can read whatever book you want, but I would recommend this book as well. And people were like, stunned. It was so much fun. And I actually, back in the day, published articles about how Christians in the public schools have a legal right, so they knew they couldn't sue me because I knew my stuff. It was fun. I just thought I would throw that out there. I don't know why. Just somebody maybe needed to hear it. I want to encourage you to be who you are. If I'm right that identity controls behavior, and if you're a believer, we should know that about you. I love to say to people, if I ran into you somewhere other than here, would I know you were a believer? I should know, because our spirits should recognize each other, but then I would hope that your behavior would be just a little bit different from the other people whom I love. Because God compels me to. So what was the purpose question? Yeah, thanks. Why am I alive? And then we get to competence. That was a big ramble, you guys. Thanks for listening. Then we get to competence. And the competence question is, what do I do well? So competence is defined by the question, what do I do well? I believe you were not created to be perfect. Perfect has been done. His name is Jesus. So to try to be perfect is one of the most damaging things you can do to yourself or to a child. people who think they're perfect will go to hell because they don't think they need a savior to save them from anything because they're not, there's nothing wrong with them. Whoa, that would be the first thing that's wrong with them. It's called pride. God hates it. So competence is what do I do well, and it's rooted in purpose. If I don't know my purpose, I don't need to do anything well. Do you guys understand that? All right, we're gonna unpack it, but let me show you this first. So the security question, if you get it wrong, you're in big trouble. Security, what can I trust? My grades. I'm an A student, always. Identity, who am I? An A student. Belonging, who wants me? Mom and dad when I earn A's. Purpose, why am I alive? To make mom and dad proud by earning A's. And competence, what do I do well? I earn A's really well. What happens to that kid when she comes home, even with a B+? There's nothing. And if that's your story, you're still trying to please your mom and dad, I ache for you. It's hard. Security, what can I trust? I'm popular. Identity, I'm popular. Belonging, I'm popular. Purpose, to be popular. Competence, I know how to be popular. What happens when I go to school or church and no one knows me? Security, what can I trust? I am beautiful. Identity, who am I? And I'm beautiful. Belonging, who wants me? The guys are looking, the girls are jealous. I don't care because I've got the guys' attention like us because I'm beautiful. And purpose, why am I alive? I'm alive to be beautiful. How many of you know people like this? Yeah. And they primp and they're in front of the mirror and they spend all their time on those dangerous websites. They're actually not alive to be beautiful. They're alive to make sure you know they're beautiful. So they walk in and they throw the pose. When I see a young child on Facebook throwing the pose, I want to just reach through my computer to the parent who has taught a four-year-old how to pose. Am I among friends? Anybody? Yeah. So dangerous. And then competence, what do I do well? Well, I do beauty well. What happens when that girl or guy goes to church or the youth group or children's church or whatever, and somebody walks in cuter than they are, or they wake up with a bad hair day and a pimple? You guys with me there? Dangerous. And it all starts with the first wrong question. And we live in a culture celebrating the what? What cul-de-sac do you live on? Which of the oil refineries do you work at? How many square feet in your house? Where did your kids go to college? They didn't go? By the way, that's fine. You'll hear me talk tomorrow about how college may not be as necessary as some people think it is. No, don't quote me on that. You got to hear the whole story tomorrow. But you guys doing okay so far? So would you like some A+ answers? Those are the wrong answers. So let me give you the hope that we're going to get to the A+ tonight. Security, who can I trust? God, who created me when he didn't have to, but he wanted to because he had so much love, he had to have somebody to share it with. Jesus, who died for me before I even asked him to, before I knew I even needed him to. If Jesus died for me, how much more can I trust him for? Amen? And I can also trust the Holy Spirit because the Bible defines him as teacher, comforter, encourager, convictor, companion, and best friend. Identity, who am I? Child of the King of Kings, a princess, daddy's the king. Saved by grace, saint who sometimes sins. In the New Testament, you're no longer called a sinner once you know Christ. We're dead to sin. Amen? If you've read the same Bible I've read. Belonging, who wants me? God does because of who God is, not because of who I am or what I've done. It's just his character to love. And then purpose, why am I alive? To glorify God through who I am and what I do. That's Isaiah 43, verse 7. You were created for God's glory. Is that like, I don't know, what about it, you guys? That's like, whoa, seriously? Like we're created to worship and to have fellowship with him and to know him and to make him known. There's so many verses we can point to. Ultimately, we're created for his good and for his glory. Isaiah 43, verse 7. And then competence, what do I do well? Anything he asks me to do. Because the Holy Word of God says he will fully equip us. Amen and amen? Amen. And so is that your worldview tonight? That was quick. Who said that? Love that. Thank you for listening and responding. Do you, because the answers to those questions will reveal your worldview. Does that make sense to you? If your security is in your income, your bank account, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that tells us something about what you are choosing to prioritize. Well, let me unpack it in a little bit more detail. And for those of you that are already really worried about taking notes, I know I talk fast. I'll show you some stuff. So I've got 5 out of my 6 books are back there and a lot of other products that I would encourage you to purchase if you're a reader. This is the book for tonight. It's on the reference list. There's a guy in here who told me recently, that when he read this 10 years ago, it changed his life, rescued him from a pit of despair. This is a hard book. It's about what we're talking about tonight. Now, for those of you that are, you know, already collecting books that are getting dusty, I don't want to add to your guilt and shame, so you can buy a pocket guide. So if you're not a reader, this is a summary of the book. And we made that for people like you. I love that you're laughing. That's so much fun. All right, so let's go in some detail here. The security question is, who can I trust? By the way, if you flip your handout over, there's a website that goes along with the book. It's AuthenticHope.com. You can see it there at the very bottom of the flip side of your handout. And at AuthenticHope.com, for every core need, there are scripture verses. So we don't have time tonight to open the Word, but if you are interested in what the Bible were to say about this, go there, find the security chapter, click on the verses, and print them out and do a family Bible study if you wanted to, or a personal devotional on that. So first it says the children's security should be met through the triune God. Now that's also true for you. I use the word children, but it could have been anyone's security should be met through the triune God. Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit. I grew up in a religion, or I went to a church that only talked about Jesus twice a year and never the Holy Spirit. And I was angry when I found out how much about God I had never been taught. So this book, the first book I wrote, is dedicated to the triune God. Because I absolutely believe you must raise your children to know all of God, the whole of God, and what each one in the Trinity does. Does that make sense? I want to say what they do, but it's not a they, it's a he. And that's so frustrating because the English language. So we need to teach the whole truth, all right? Let's teach the whole truth. Amen to that? Amen. The whole truth, not your favorite verse all the time. Like, I dare you to read a book you haven't read yet. You know, some of you only go to the Bible studies for the books you already like because it's easy. Like, I respect that. I'm not clueless. But I want to dare some of you to go to a class about something totally new because then you find out about the parts of God that you did not know. Do you still like me? I don't care. Dick, do you like me? Okay. I mean, really, it's all about you. All right. Then we get to this idea that children's security can also be met through trustworthy people. God did not create us just to have a vertical relationship with him, although that's predominant. He also did graciously and generously create us to really want each other and to need each other at a particular level. So children should have trustworthy people, so we need to teach discernment. We need to teach it, you guys. Right now, most of you who are parenting are discerning for your kids, and I'm grateful for that, and for your grandkids. How many of you, there's no book in your house they shouldn't read, right? Unless it's, you know, under lock and key. And there's no, you know, no DVD. You don't have people over to the house for dinner that you don't want them to meet. Am I right about that? So you're discerning. You have to teach them what you're doing so one day they can do it. Otherwise, when they leave your really comfortable and safe nest that has great boundaries that are blessings, they're going to go out on their own. And then you're going to wonder, why are they so clueless? Well, they're not clueless. They just weren't taught the standards and the systems that you use. So as they age, begin to share with them, you know, son, this isn't a movie we're watching. Here's why. Or what I know a lot of people do is you watch movies or TV shows with your kids and then discuss it. Now, what do you think of that? We shouldn't have watched that, Dad. Well, why not? Let's talk about it. And then you pray that it erases from their brain. I'm glad you're grown because it won't be erased. So I really caution you. That's the strategy some people use, and I'm not opposed to it. And yet, if you have a picture-smart child who remembers what she sees, she'll never forget the images that were on the movie theater or the TV screen or the images she created when she read the book that you didn't want her to read. All right, next, children's another important source of security is myself. We do want to raise our children to trust themselves, amen? Not instead of God and not instead of you, but how many of you want to work yourself out of a job? How many of you still have little kids and you're waiting for the day when you don't have to hire a babysitter? You know, and how many of you young people in here would just wish your parents would stop asking you, what are you doing with your time and your money? Where were you this weekend? You know, well, they're still asking because they love you. By the way, if they love you enough to ask, answer their questions. You guys were brave to sit up front. I love you people in your generation. I'm going to watch to see where you sit tomorrow. So because we want people to trust themselves, we need to teach character and resiliency. We need to stop talking about character and teach it. What is patience? What is generosity? What is gentleness? What is other-centeredness? If you don't have a list, several of my books have an appendix of character qualities. It's very important. Resiliency, the choice to bounce back after despair or defeat. If you're curious, go home and Google. Don't do it now on your device, but go home and Google resiliency. It is absolutely one of the most important critical concepts to raise children with, and they don't have it today because technology is raising them, and they think technology is perfect, so are they. And they think they come with a reboot button like their computer does, and they don't. And their heart will really be broken, and the pain may remain. You guys with me? So teach resiliency, which is what? The choice, or we say choice, it's a choice to bounce back quickly from defeat, trauma, harm, disappointment, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We'll talk a little bit more about that tomorrow because that's really related to technology. So what are the keys? I think their keys are apologizing and forgiveness. If you think about the people who you are most able to trust, am I right that it's people who apologize and own their junk? Don't you trust well the people who say, would you please forgive me? And this would be God. You know, one of the reasons that we can trust God is he chooses to forget we were ever in his presence with our sin declaration. And if I went back to God and I heard him say, Kathy, four times this month you've been here with that critical spirit, what's up with you? If I thought he kept track and he was aware, it would be so much harder to go into his presence and say, I've so disappointed you. How many of you would agree with me there? And so for those of you who are listening as parents, stop reminding your children of their past failure. You wake them up in the morning and you say, you better have a good day today. And they're like, how many of you know that? I mean, and guys, I love you. I love that you're here. But we've got to be really careful because if you keep reminding your spouse, your best friends, your coworkers, and your children that they have failed you, identity controls behavior. So you're telling them that they're failures, and what are they going to do again? Fail. I can almost guarantee you that there's a pattern. And some of you, if you'd like to talk with me about that, would probably be able to admit that. All right, raise your hand if you've learned anything yet, and don't lie. It's fabulous. I'm not here to entertain you. There's other places I could be. I want to be an influence upon your heart, mind, soul, spirit, and life in general. I want you to be thinking about who's not in the room who I can talk to about this. I want you to think about, man, what question should I keep pondering? Because I'm going fast. And I want you to think, what can I do and who can I become because I'm in this place with Kathy Cook? Did you all hear that? What can I do because I'm here? But who can I be? Because I've come to the sky worldview form. Big sky. Is it big sky? Yeah. Big sky. Is your sky bigger here, you think, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for laughing. I'm just trying to let you know I know where I am. Montana. Big state. Big state. All right, let's go to identity. What's the question? Excellent. The question is, who am I? So jot that down if you want to. And quickly, children's security should be current, and so should yours. The question is, who am I, not who was I? I used to be too tall and clumsy. I was 6 years old, came home and said to my mom and dad, I don't want to be tall anymore, and I tripped over things that weren't there. It was really bad, and I'm so grateful because they enrolled me in tap dance class by the end of that week, and I went from being too tall and clumsy to the center of the back row, a position of high honor that only the tallest girl was allowed to have. And if you've noticed, I'm no longer clumsy. All because I had a mom I could be secure in. The highest compliment a child will ever pay you is to share their heart cry with you. Mommy, I don't want to be tall anymore. My mom would have had every legitimate right to say, well, get over it. You're going to be tall. Look at me. Look at your dad. But I'm 6. I don't get it, you guys. So she's like, she said to my dad, her husband, we've got a daughter with a perceived problem that can't be changed. She's going to be tall, perceived problem that can be changed. She's kind of clumsy. What can we do? And they problem solved. That's why I was secure in that. And they problem solved without making me feel like a problem to be solved. Ooh, there was an audible moan. This book I've written with Jill Savage, No More Perfect Kids, is all about that. This book is about raise the children you were given, not the children you wish you had. This book is about understanding they're not perfect, nor are you, and be available, present to the heart cry. Mommy, I don't want to be tall anymore. So that's no longer, as children now tell me, Dr. Kathy Lady, you're not too tall, you're cool tall. So now if I make a list of 20 statements, I might put cool tall on there. Because see, I can sit and still be seen. Am I right? God knew exactly what he was doing when he chose in his love to make me, me. And God knew exactly what he was doing when he chose in his love to make you, 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 and you. Amen? But when I was a little kid, I was too tall. I had to grow into it. When I go overseas, I have no trouble putting suitcases into the overhead bin. My first flight was to Asia. Can you picture me on an airplane going to Asia? I was very tall. Yeah. I can tell you more, but there's a clock moving, so I'm not going to. The other question that's not the right question is, well, who will I be? It's okay to have a vision for your tomorrow. See, the question is, who am I? Because we're talking about current. Because identity controls behavior. You have to know who you are now. But who do I want to be? I was at a school in Walker, Iowa, and a boy wrote down 20 statements. I do this exercise, chapter 4 in the book, of 20 statements that are true of you. And the first thing he wrote down was, if we had a football team, I would be the quarterback. He was angry every day he went to school because his parents chose a school without a football team. And he was dreaming of a world that would not be. So he was angry, dissatisfied, disappointed, and not content every day, even though the Bible says be content. Or Jesus says. You guys with me? So the question is, who am I? Do not live in your past. And do not be so focused on the future that you lose sight of today. We believe at Celebrate Kids that present value causes future potential. If your children, grandchildren, and the children in your public schools, or the people that you work with, if they do not understand present value, they will not ever develop the potential that God created within them, even though Ephesians 2:10 teaches us that it's already there. Raise your hand if that was relevant for you, because some of you might not have been raised believing that you mattered today. It was always when you drive, when you go to school, when you marry. It's always like pushing you, pushing you, pushing you. And you lived in a space and a place where you didn't feel valued. And that's still damaging today. Maybe you didn't come here to learn about your kids or grandkids. You came here so God would say, you've been lied to, and tonight's your night to be free. I mean, this isn't church, but it could be. The next idea is that their identity needs to be honest. Do not let children lie, and don't you lie either. If you're a prideful bragger, know it about yourself. There's a difference, right, between confidence and arrogance. So who are you? Do you know who you are? Are you honest? If you hear a child lie, oh, you guys, raise your hand again if you're here as a parent or a grandparent, teacher, or a volunteer with kids. If you hear a child lie about themselves, and they know you heard it and you don't correct it, they will think you agree. Please have the guts to say, whoa, Peter, what did you say? So they're emptying their backpack, or you know, they tripped and said, I am so stupid. Whoa, Jill, wait a second. Are you stupid because you tripped? You're not stupid, sweetheart. Your brain's amazing. You were just careless. Maybe in a moment you were clumsy, but in a moment you're not a clumsy kid, you just tripped. You guys with me there? Catch the lie and speak truth into it. Because if you don't, they'll believe that you heard it, believed it, and now we're done because identity controls behavior. Have the ears to hear and have the guts to speak up and make the time for it. And if you can't right then because there are siblings around or other students in the classroom, I respect that. But I want to say to you that love shows up in the sacrifice of your time. And you need to look for the opportunity to rescue that son, daughter, grandkid, student and say, hey, a few minutes ago, I heard you say something, and I need you to know that I disagree with you. Oh, what do you mean? Have a conversation, you guys. So important. And then a third component here is that identity should be complete, and it starts with knowing your strengths and your weaknesses. I like to kind of joke that if you write down 20 things that are true of you, and you only have strengths written down, then add 21 pride as the first weakness. You need to know your strengths because if you don't know your strengths, you won't know what to do that's good. So it's inappropriate to raise children today who don't know their talents, interests, desires, and delights. You have to know what you're good at so that you sign up, right? To volunteer, to continue in school, you know, to do whatever. But you got to know your weaknesses because otherwise you don't know how you hurt people. You have to know the weaknesses. Because otherwise you don't know how you hurt people. And you need to know your weaknesses so that you can improve them. You don't know weaknesses so that they define and defeat you. But we and the children we represent need to know the challenges, the weaknesses, the weak areas, so that we can use our strengths to overcome. Amen? And one of the things I say to kids all the time, and say it after me, don't let your weaknesses win. Say it again. Do you all know that most strengths cause problems? Most of children's problems are actually rooted in strengths, not weaknesses. Weaknesses may cause you to get to your knees and pray. Your own weaknesses may cause you to pray and to ponder and maybe live with regret. But I can almost guarantee you that the things that drive you nuts about yourself and the children you represent are their strengths gone bad. Because too much of a good thing isn't a good thing. I was a chatty Cathy as a child. I now get paid to talk. Like, that's amazing. Did talk radio today. Loved it. Written 6 books. Loved it. If I would have been raised, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet. Would you shut up and find something to do? Would I be here today? No. My parents saw what others would have seen as a problem, as a strength to develop. My favorite book when I was 7 was A Thesaurus, and that's a true story. Teenagers are like, would you get yourself a life, lady? But I paid attention to words when I was a little kid. They knew I loved words, and now I write books using A Thesaurus. Hello? Today causes tomorrow. We are who we are supposed to be. When I was about 10, they enrolled me in children's theater. They said, go talk there a while. And that's a true story. That's where I learned to project and use my body language well. And use my tone of voice. I didn't know that at the time, but I look back on that. Oh, so grateful, because my mom heard my heart cry. My mom and dad raised me to know what I could do and should do. You also see there on the handout a list of other things that make us who we are. And we are of the philosophy at Celebrate Kids that you should talk with your children about all 6 of these categories. If you only talk with them about their intellectual pursuit, if all you talk with them about is how was school, how was math, what about history, they're going to put all their eggs in that basket. And when they come home without that basket being full, they're going to feel empty, defeated, and done. How many of you know what I'm talking about? That might have actually been your testimony. Mom and dad paid attention to you, not at all, except for grades. Or maybe you're the athlete, and all they cared about was, you know, your score on the track meet, or how many baskets did you make versus how many did you miss? And so your physical was all they cared about. If you guys are interested in this, it's in the book. And also, just a quick thing, you'll notice the rectangle there at the top of the handout with my name in it. That's how you can get to my Facebook page. And I also have a Vimeo channel, vimeo.com. That's professional YouTube. I'm a little bit on YouTube, but I'm represented by an agent in Nashville, and we're required to be on Vimeo. And Vimeo is really cool because there's no commercials. You're never forced to watch any video that you don't want to watch. So it's actually safe for your children. Do not let them on YouTube without you being there, because you never know what video pops up before the one that you said that they could go watch. At my Vimeo channel, we have 225 videos. They're 3 minutes long, and many of them are about this complete identity. So you could search for the word identity, and you'll find spiritual identity, emotional identity, social identity. So I'm going to let you do that if this is something that you need to know more about, or you can ask me off mic. What do you think about that? Is that all right? You guys can handle that because you're mature, right? At the bottom it says change is possible. We're going to talk about that tomorrow morning. But the reason it's on this handout is if you've been listening to me thinking, Kathy, I don't like my identity. I'm a jerk. I know it. Or I am prideful. Or, man, I'm so impatient. Or I'm jealous. Kathy, if you were to look at my heart, you would see the identity of jealous in neon blinking. I've got really good news for you. Jesus came to change you. From lost to found, from sinner to saint, from broken to whole, and he can change everything else. Amen? And so if you're listening tonight, I'm so grateful that you are. I love the attention. Eye contact's been great. The nodding, I appreciate the note-taking. If there's something about you that you don't like, it's totally possible to leave that here in the room. But come back tomorrow where we're going to talk more specifically about that. But I'm going to move on to belonging if I can. May I do that? Yeah. All right, doing all right? All right, you focus, stand up and walk around if you guys are tired or if your back hurts like mine. All right, so belonging is who wants me. You know, does anybody know I'm alive? Does anybody care? Who wants me? Well, how do we answer that question? First and foremost, in God. He created us to have fellowship with him. He created us that we would know him and make him known. So belonging should be met in God. And I say with a lot of respect to you, does he satisfy you? Why is it that I meet so many believers who are still looking in so many other places for belonging? Now, he creates this for horizontal relationships. How many of you love coming to these worldview forums? Because there's no belonging here. How many of you came in and you remembered people? And you? I watched a bunch of you shake hands and meet and greet. It was so much fun to see that. I met some of you in March. It's just been great. So we're alive for community. That's great. But really, you guys, if you know Jesus, then we don't need to go fill in the blank there anymore. Because at every other place, you'll have a sense of belonging, but with God, you have belonging. Do you all know the difference? I hope you know the difference. If you don't know the difference, would you talk to someone tonight? I would be so honored to talk with you, and I know others in the room would be as well. So God ought to be, you know, that A-plus answer. And then trustworthy people. There's the word trustworthy again. One of the reasons I said earlier that discernment is something to teach is because trustworthiness is not only a factor of security, it's a huge factor in belonging. How many of you want your kids to belong to the people they should belong to and leave the rest alone? Right? How many of you want them to identify? If we had time tonight, now this is a great exercise to go home with, to define trustworthiness. And I would even say to you, how do we know God is trustworthy? And how do you identify that Dick and Nancy Pence and the others on the committee are trustworthy? And how do I know if my dad is trustworthy? Are you reliable? Do you follow through? Do you apologize? If you don't apologize to me and I know that you screwed up, I don't trust you. Because that's arrogant and you're going to hurt me and I don't want to be hurt again, so now I'm distant. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You begin to create a wall there between your own kid and you. Because she said you forgot my poster board and you blew it off like it wasn't a big deal. No, you said you were going to buy it. You didn't buy it. You forgot it. She has a right to her disappointment. Whew. Could you hear my voice just a little bit change there? Like, I am Celebrate Kids. I will be an advocate for the children in the room. And I love you. I'm like, oh, by the way, I wonder if I should tell you this now. I'm single without any children telling you what to do with yours. I used to kind of keep it a secret, but integrity is really important to me. So you have every right to know. I don't raise children. I've never been married. I am called to be single. I know that in the knowing of my knowing. And people have said I've raised thousands of kids, and maybe I've helped with that. You are my heroes. I get to tell you what to do and leave. Like, I got the easy job. So I don't pretend to understand how hard it can be to live 24/7, 365 with little eyes looking at you and little ears hearing you. But I will tell you what they tell me. They know when you screwed up. And when you dismiss them because you don't admit it, they feel so unimportant. I've had kids say to me, Dr. Kathy, do they think they're perfect or is it because I'm a kid? And when they say, is it because I'm a kid? I will go find you, and we will have a conversation. And it will be full of Jesus. I also believe that a lot of our belonging can be rooted in our belief system. How many of you have best friends who believe what you believe? And how many of you are in this room? Because there's a belief system that is similar here. So beliefs matter. The people who work with me, my board of directors, my best friends, we have similar beliefs. I'm a red, white, and blue, bleeding, pro-military, pro-American. I've been to 30 countries. Many of them, they don't get a right to vote. I vote for every election. It angers me that people, that's strong. I'm sad for people who don't get it. And if I'm not careful, righteous anger, I think, is okay, if I've read the Bible right. So I have best friends who are very pro-American. You guys with me there? I come from a really musical family, so some of my best friends are very much into music as well. So beliefs matter. So if you want your kids to have healthy relationships, make sure they know what you want them to believe. And they won't necessarily get it from breathing your air and drinking the same water you drink. You have to have the conversation. You know, to say, Johnny, do you know why we believe what we believe? You know, Meredith, do you understand why we're talking with you about this? So talk about beliefs. And then strengths, talents, and interests. If you guys think back to when you were a school ager, I bet, like me, a lot of your connections were rooted in the things that you enjoyed doing and were good at. For me, it was band. I went to the university I went to march in the band. My high school went to the Rose Bowl parade when I was a junior in high school. Music still ranks as a high priority in my life. By the way, I don't idolize it or worship it like a lot of young people. We'll talk about that a little bit tomorrow. But this is why identity comes before belonging. Because if they don't know who they are, they will not know who to hang with. Raise your hand if that made sense to you, because I said that fast. If they don't know who they are, they won't know who to hang with. So now they're in the locker room, in the lunchroom, in the youth group room, or in the neighborhood, not sure who to talk to, and not sure what kind of conversation to have. Because they can't answer the question, who are you? Did you have a good day? And then differences. Now, I don't usually talk to elementary kids about putting some of their belonging in their differences, but I do with middle schoolers and high schoolers, because I think it's part of the problem in our culture is that we've labeled and categorized and boxed people in, and we're not them, and they're not us, and so never the twain shall meet, and that's part of the issue. Does that make sense to you? So differences are not unhealthy. Differences are different. It doesn't mean that we can't have some friendship and some conversations. Yeah, they're not the ones that I'm going to pour my heart out to, necessarily. That's a boundary, that's a blessing. That's not rude, and it's not arrogant, and it's not isolationist or any of those other terms that, you know, people are throwing around. You guys with me? All right, so how healthy is your belonging in each of those ways? You'll notice on the handout a quick comment about the one and others. They're available on the website for the book at chapters 5 and 6. There's 41 or 42 of them. Honor one another, be devoted to one another, pray for one another, submit to one another, lift up one another's burdens. Love one another is there 17 times. Do not judge one another. My favorite is do not bite and devour one another. That's in the Bible. And that might be good if you're raising boys. Handwriting practice tomorrow morning. So if we're looking at how to create a healthy belonging in our communities, in our churches, in our families, let's teach the one another's. What's it really mean to not judge one another? Does that mean I can have no opinions of you? No, that's not what it means. But to look at that can be really profitable. Also, you'll notice on the handout that we have 6 different relationship and friendship skills. I don't have time tonight to do anything but mention them to you. It is chapter 6 in my book. And we do have, for those of you who are interested, a really important product that I'll hold up in just a second. What kids tell me all the time is, Dr. Kathy, they tell and they yell. They tell me to make friends. They yell when I don't have any. I wish they would teach me how to find some. Dr. Kathy, my dad is mad that I became friends with a guy, and he's right. I shouldn't have, but I did, and now I don't know how to get rid of him without hurting him. Can you help me? I'm a complete stranger who's flown in from across the country. I want you to understand friendship is extremely complex today, partly because of social media, and partly because parents are absent to their children's heart cries. Not you. Like, you guys are amazing. All the people not in the room are the ones that needed to hear that. Thank you. Thank you. No, because it's hard. You guys, some of you chose 6 kids. I met someone today that has 12 children. How big is his heart? Oh, my goodness. And then, really fun, we teach and celebrate kids that there are friendship levels, and we should decide who gets close to our heart. We should not just let anybody near our heart. None of you in here are my friends. If you, Dick and Nancy, you're the closest. Like, we're actually, I think we've moved past casual. I'm feeling pretty close. Especially if we do tomorrow afternoon what you said we might do. Then you're gonna like earn that close category designation, all right? Transparent is that I would share my vulnerable heart with you. There would be authenticity, vulnerability, transparency, and all that kind of stuff. Mature, redefine, and celebrate kids is dating with an eye toward marriage. Heterosexual dating with an eye toward marriage. Our concern is that a lot of young people, college age as well, have stopped the boundaries. They're just desperate for connection. They collect people like I collect nativity sets. We'll talk about that a little bit tomorrow. So I have 122 nativities from around the world, and they're all displayed year round. If you join me on my Facebook pages, you'll see pictures if you're curious. This is our Friendship Levels brochure. This teaches kids. This is designed for middle school, high school, and college young people. I actually know adults who are trying to date, and they use it as well. And if you're a parent of younger kids, you can use it with them. All it is a series of questions you ask about the person to help you decide if that person should move from casual to close. Now you have somebody who's a close friend, and you're trying to decide, should I become more vulnerable and transparent? There's a set of questions here that you can ask and answer. There's a dating column, and on the back are the friendship skills that I just threw up there. So these are for sale back there. They're not on sale, but they're for sale. And they're designed for you. I know kids who have it in their backpack and in their glove compartment. And that's what they use when they're going to invite someone over for a movie. And they look at that to decide who to invite. That's delighting to me that it would show up in such a practical way. So you guys, that is a quick look at belonging. It's in the middle. I'm going to say something else, and then I'm going to move on. Man, thanks for listening to me. I can teach anybody the friendship skills. Introduce me to anybody. Give me enough time, and I can teach them the friendship skills. But if their identity is still, I am a jerk, it won't help. Identity comes before belonging on purpose. So you can teach your children friendship levels and how to guard their heart, and you can quiz them on what you mean, and they could earn an A. But if their identity is still, I am lost, I am an introvert, I don't like people, if their identity is I'm scared, if their identity is I'm stupid, they still are going to present that in relationship, and it will still warp what goes on there. So that pyramid on the front of that handout is really important, because that is how you figure out the root you need to dig out to change the fruit. Because the issue that you think is a belonging issue is actually maybe a security issue. They don't know how to discern trustworthiness. So they're constantly giving their heart away to people that don't have a right to it. And the more you do that, the more hurt you are, the more you present yourself as hurt. And now who chooses you? Someone who wants you hurt, because now they can have their way with you. Do y'all understand that? Yeah. So that's the concept of go dig for the root. That's what's going to make the instruction and the heart-changing desire much more likely. Well, I'm going to continue. Let's do purpose, and then I'll probably give you a break and come back and do competence, because I don't want anybody in here nervous about the break. So purpose is, why am I alive? Why was I created? Why now? Why me? And I believe that we were created to glorify God. So that's the A+ first answer if you're a note taker right there. Children's purpose is to glorify God, and so is yours. And we glorify God through who I am and what I do. We are huge advocates at Celebrate Kids of helping you and your children understand you're a human being, not a human doing. I didn't stay up late to figure that out. But we're human beings. And what I mean by that is this. Who I am is more important than what I do, because everything I do because of everything I am. And by watching me do things this weekend, you will learn a lot about who I am. You cannot hide your belief system. You might think you can, but you really can't. And I don't say that to intimidate. I say that to inform you. So we glorify God primarily, I think, by who we are. You guys, it's way easier for me to glorify God when I have a microphone in my hand than any other time. How do you know what I mean? You know, will I glorify God when I get in the slow line at the grocery store? When I go through security on Sunday, if I don't get pre-check and they're a little bit slow, will I glorify God then? Oh, it's harder. Like what I'm doing when I'm within my call, when I'm doing what I was going to do, it's not hard. But oh, later. So raise up a generation of children who know who they are, because it's who they are that will really cause God to look good. It's not just what they do. Now, in the public schools, although I legally could say that, it would be really unwise. So I usually say in my more secular settings, and it's true for us as believers as well, that we are alive to positively influence the future. If I positively influence the future, I have glorified God. So depending upon your perspective, maybe that's what you think about. And here's the other way I say it. We are absolutely alive to leave the world a better place. I don't believe for an instant that a single person in this room was created except by an intentional God on purpose, for his glory now. You were supposed to be created exactly who you are. I'm not too tall, I'm cool tall. I'm a Chatty Cathy who's written books and is changing the world, I hope, through the spoken word. You guys with me there? Who are you? What are you going to do? How are you going to leave the world a better place? We've got to raise up a generation that knows that they were created on purpose, for purpose, with purpose. And tomorrow morning when we talk about technology, I'm going to give you a really important insight into helping young people today believe that about themselves, because a lot of them don't. What do we need to know? We need to have hope. If you have kids or you know adults without hope, they don't need purpose. Purpose is lit within us when we have a hope for today and a hope for tomorrow. Let me say this. You guys are listening so well. I believe in present hope, future hope, and distant hope. All three are essential to keep us on the right path with an optimism. Think about our country. Think about the law. Think about the open judges. Think about your children and the age that they are. You need hope for today. You need to have hope you can go home tomorrow and your house will not be destroyed. That's present hope. Then you need a future hope for high school graduation, or that you're going to get the bonus that you think you're going to get in the month of March. But future, and then distant hope is that your children will actually launch and not come back. Or I don't know. Does that make sense to you? All three of those really matter in your spirit. You might want to talk about that as a family. We also need people to serve. This is why belonging comes before purpose. Because we were created to leave the world a better place. We were created to glorify God. And we do that predominantly by serving others. We leave the world a better place by impacting people, right? We glorify God when we make him known and when we celebrate who he is within each of us. So we've got to have people to serve. I say all the time that if you ever meet someone who's, how many of you know people have plateaued? They've developed an apathy toward themselves or their education, their career, or their life, and they're just not really in the movement. They're not moving. They're just standing still. They need people to serve. One of the best antidotes for depression. Get your eyes off of yourself and find a talent within yourself that can bless someone else. And when you watch somebody else change, you believe that you might have been created on purpose. Absolutely. And then the third thing is direction. And this, you guys, is key because this is a generation of kids with way too many voices. They're trying to listen to too many lyrics, too many TV sitcoms, too many movies, too many Facebook friends, Instagram posts. It's messy and loud. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Just messy and loud. Even in the church, the direction is not due north. When I talk to young people at Summit, it happened to me at Summit in July when I was privileged to be there. I was talking about same-sex attraction, and I said, being attracted to someone of the same sex is not sin. It's a thorn in your side that may be permanent, it may not. I get it. Let's talk about it. But acting upon it is sin. That is not my opinion. That is a holy, transforming, relevant, never-changing word of God. And I love to say to young people, God will not rewrite the Bible for your generation, nor should he. And they have looked me right in the eye, walked right into my space, and they've said, lady, I can find a church in town that'll teach me something different, and that's where I'm going to go. They're church hopping and they're faith hopping because they don't want to stay in the valley that is hard. And we're going to talk about that tomorrow because it's a very significant thing about those of you raising. How many of you have preteens and teens that you love or are raising? You guys, you're coming back tomorrow, right? I'm so excited. What an honor to be here. So direction is important partly because it's loud and confusing today in our culture. And it's also, direction is also essential because, okay, I got to back up and ask you a question. How many of you know young people, define it however you want, 35 and under, how many of you know young people who really don't know what they're going to do next? Could I see your hands? And this might be you. Okay, here's why. You're not apathetic, you're multi-talented. You're not apathetic, you're multi-passionate. How many of you know I'm right? When I was a kid, I became a second grade school teacher because when I was a second grader, we went on a pretend field trip to Hawaii in the middle of the winter in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. The library became the ocean and the beach, and I'm not joking, it was amazing. And I remember thinking, she's getting paid, having a really good time, this is what I'm going to do. When, if you're my age, and I'm older than a lot of you, but those of us who are older, we didn't have, it wasn't a challenge for us. We became nurses or teachers, or an engineer because your dad was an engineer. Am I right about that? For a lot of us, right? Today's kids, because of the World Wide Web, I got kids saying, I'm going to go to the University of South Africa because I follow a band from there. I'm going to go to the University of Northern Ireland because there's a soccer star I love from there. Or today I met a guy from Wales. I liked his accent. I think I'll go to Wales. That's how they think. They think the world is open to them. They need you to direct them. Do they know who they are? By the way, who should they be getting their identity from? Christ. Whoa. Absolutely. God's word, where he says you're chosen and adopted and deeply loved and not a mistake, etc., etc. And then who else should they get their identity from? You. Moms and dads, speak up and speak loud. When your child comes home and is lonely and disgusted with life, look him right in the eye if you can and grab his little ears and say, oh, sweetheart, I'm so sad you heard that. It's such a lie. And then I could go on and on with the stories that, they've told me. So direction. Do you know them well enough to point them due north? Do you have a vision for their lives and for yours? Do you believe in the believing of your believing they were created on purpose for a purpose to the glory of God for today and tomorrow? What's your worldview? Your worldview about people shows up in this model. And it's essential that you hear their heart cry. That's what we're talking about for direction. Amen? Amen? I need to honor the clock, so we're going to take a 10-minute break. When you come back, I will talk about competence, and then we'll quickly move into the message about smart. I am delighted to be here.